It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody, welcome to TGIF, coming to you from Alaska or the North Pole. I just kind of made it in because
it was a close call.
It's freezing in here, so I had to run upstairs.
I'm used to this.
I ran up three flights of stairs to get a bigger coat. I forgot my gloves and scarf and my hat.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's TGIF. Thank God it's Friday. I can't believe it's Friday.
I can't believe it either. So it's been a brutal week.
It's been a brutal week. That's for sure. All right. So where are we going to go? We should pray. I think that would be a good thing to do.
Good place to start.
Maybe as we pray, I can catch my breath. And just, you sound like a devil coat on here. So.
I don't know. This has always been the case with me. I've always had a cold house, cold apartment.
And a cold heart.
And a cold heart.
Yeah. We all know that, you
right.
know. So, not a hard heart.
There's a difference.
Not a hard heart, but a cold heart. No, just not really. All right. I love the people that listen to us because I think they know how disorganized I am. And
yeah, after a while, I think people catch on to how things really are.
Yeah. So
you give that little leeway because everybody's trying.
We're all trying. All right, where is this? Okay, here we go. Okay. Wow. Yes. Well, I'm in pretty good shape. I went three flights of stairs up and three flights of stairs down.
When you said I'm going to get my coat, I thought, okay, fine. But then I looked at the time and I'm, oh my gosh, it's going to start. We're going to start.
So on the way up, Tyrone said, he said, it's 12 o'clock. You're supposed to be on the radio. Yeah. So, all right, here we go. All right, let's pray, everybody. On this Friday, cold Friday in Chicago. Is it really cold outside? I don't know.
It's not. Not so bad.
You know, it's just cold in here. Maybe we should move the studio outside.
I was just telling Nick, I like it cold and I like it dark. So yeah.
Got it. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Now and at the hour of our death, amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. My tongue is froze. Sorry. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Now and at the hour of our death, amen.
And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech you, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, made by his passion and cross, be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ our Lord. Lord, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, have mercy on us.
Christ, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, hear us.
Christ, graciously hear us.
God, the Father of heaven,
have mercy on us.
God, the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy on us.
God, the Holy Ghost,
have mercy on us.
Holy Trinity, one God,
have mercy on us.
Holy Mary,
pray for us.
Holy Mother of God,
pray for us.
Holy Virgin of Virgins,
pray for us.
Mother of Christ,
pray for us.
Mother of Divine Grace,
pray for us.
Mother Most Pure,
pray for us.
Mother Most Chaste,
pray for us.
Mother Inviolate,
pray for us.
Mother Undefiled,
pray for us.
Mother most amiable,
pray for us.
Mother most admirable,
pray for us.
Mother of good counsel,
pray for us.
Mother of our Creator,
pray for us.
Mother of our Savior,
pray for us.
Virgin most prudent,
pray for us.
Virgin most venerable,
pray for us.
Virgin most renowned,
pray for us.
Virgin most powerful,
pray for us.
Virgin most merciful,
pray for us.
Virgin most faithful,
pray for us.
Mirror of justice,
pray for us.
Seat of wisdom,
pray for us.
Cause of our joy,
pray for us.
Spiritual vessel,
pray for us.
Vessel of honor,
pray for us.
Singular vessel of devotion,
pray for us.
Mystical rose,
pray for us.
Tower of David,
pray for us.
Tower of ivory,
pray for us.
House of gold,
pray for us.
Ark of the covenant,
pray for us.
Gate of heaven,
pray for us.
Morning star,
pray for us.
Health of the sick,
pray for us.
Refuge of sinners,
pray for us.
Comforter of the afflicted,
pray for us.
Help of Christians,
pray for us.
Queen of angels,
pray for us.
Queen of patriarchs,
pray for us.
Queen of prophets,
pray for us.
Queen of apostles,
pray for us.
Queen of martyrs,
pray for us.
Queen of confessors,
pray for us.
Queen of virgins,
pray for us.
Queen of all saints,
pray for us.
Queen conceived without original sin,
pray for us.
Queen assumed into heaven,
pray for us.
Queen of the Most Holy Rosary,
pray for us.
Queen of the Family,
pray for us.
Queen of Peace,
pray for us.
Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world, spare us, O Lord. Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world,
graciously hear us, O Lord.
Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world,
have mercy on us.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. O Most Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, at this most critical time, we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. Most Holy Mother, we beg you, reclaim this land for the glory of your Son. Overwhelmed with the burden of the sins of our nation, we cry to you from the depths of our hearts and seek refuge in your motherly protection. Look down with mercy upon us and touch the hearts of our people. Open our minds to the great worth of human life and to the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Free us from the falsehoods that lead to the evil of abortion and threaten the sanctity of family life. Grant our country the wisdom to proclaim that God's law is the foundation on which this nation was founded, and that He alone is the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. O merciful Mother, give us the courage to reject the culture of death and the strength to build a new culture of life. And now, trusting in your most powerful intercession, we pray, remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do we come. Before thee we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother, the Word incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy, hear and answer us. O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Well, I kind of at a loss for words. For some reason, this morning.
We were talking about prayer yesterday, and
it's
this little bit of prayer just is so.
Yeah, we should just pray for the whole hour. Let's just silent prayer for an hour.
Right, okay. That would be good.
So I have to. You were at the Mass on Ash Wednesday with the kids. I had some nice compliments for the from people, because we had a lot of other people there, right, for the ashes in the morning, and of course in the evening as well, both the masses. We had a full church, but I had a number of comments about how well the children were.
I've noticed that even the last few times, mm-hmm, I've been at the kids' mass, and I mean, they come in, even the little ones,
right,
and because we were sitting there thinking, okay, well, you know, because Angelica was working, so she had to get back real quick. But it's like, okay, well, we'll be in and out of here. And then I realized, oh, here come all the little kids. But even the little kids, the only thing, because I know you had to do the cotton.
Right, right.
And I saw you kind of struggling. I was hoping someone would be there. And I was thinking about it myself. But then I figured, you know, you had it covered where, you know, you put the cotton ball down.
Right.
But then the silence of all the little kids. And then in a line.
Yeah.
It's just, I was really...
I think I'm if I can say, I'm most proud about that, because one of the things, and this year we don't have music. I mean, yesterday, for Ash Wednesday, we did.
That was another thing that was good.
It was nice.
I really liked that.
But we don't, this was the first mass this year that we had music, because mm-hmm, I purposely don't want music, except I'll chant the Sanctus and the Agnus Dei and the prayers, perhaps, or the preface, mm-hmm, depending on how I'm feeling. But I always do the Sanctus and the Agnus Dei and the Great Amen as well. But when you think about the world is inundated with so much noise, mm-hmm, and these kids are, you know, they're, especially now with the computer, you know, they're,
right.
I mean, our kids are, thank God they're in school. They've been in school since August.
But the one thing is, you almost expect noise and people acting up, but it's just, there's such reverence. And I know that's due to you, to the teachers,
well,
especially the teachers.
We've all made that it's certainly a priority for me, is that there'd be silence in the church. Because again, that's a response to Our Lady's call, you know, that we come away, open the doors, that the cacophony, cacophony means rude noise, mm-hmm, that the rude noise, the cacophony of the world, not shout into silence the voice of the living God. And so sometimes music can even be a distraction, and especially when you're trying to get the kids to sing, you know, as we did, mm-hmm, last year. Not that it was bad, it's a good thing, but this year I really, really value, and even last year, you know, I've always stressed with the children, you know, that you're not in the gym, you're not in the, mm-hmm, living room, we're in the classroom, you're not in the cafeteria, we're not in the park, we're in the sanctuary, we're in God's house. And so you come in silence, you leave in silence, you remain silent, except, you know, the responses, of course, even with the, because they've got the masks, so it's hard to hear the responses because it's kind of muffled, but they really get it, and I think not only that they get it, I think they really, really appreciate it, because it's probably the only time of the day, mm-hmm, that they have this silence, which you know, which is most lacking in the world today. And the other thing that we, and this is, I'm very, very proud of them and proud of myself, I have to say, you know, because I, in a good sense, not in, mm-hmm, not in a sinful sense, and not in the sin of pride, but I'm proud of them, and I'm proud that we've, and the teachers, that everybody's cooperated, and everybody, as I say, gets it. Mm-hmm. But even for Holy Communion now, so we kneel at the altar rail, which I'm very happy about that, because it's, it just, you know, it just makes sense to me.
Yeah.
And it gives, you know, people a chance to pause a bit before they receive the Holy Eucharist. When you're in the line, you're just moving right in the, mm-hmm, line. If you're standing, moving the line, you got to move away. But here, you have this pause, and so you have to wait. Kneeling, you wait for the priest to come with the Holy Eucharist. And in the beginning of the year, now, so we're coming out of the pandemic. It used to be that our kids only received on the tongue,
mm-hmm,
because I thought, well, at the confirmation, then they can choose whether they want to receive on the hand or on the tongue. Of course, my preference is that we would receive on the tongue. I think it's just traditional in that, mm-hmm, regard. And and because often it doesn't seem that there's quite the reverence when it's received on the hand. So I really but because of the COVID and the regulations, at least for our students, I had to emphasize that they, you know, in the school that they're going to have to receive on the hand. Some of them don't. Some of them do not. They do not want to. And these are kids whose families regularly come to Mass, and so you see the difference. But in the beginning, so they, you know, they would come and they would put their hand on their hand, hand over their hand, and I'd offer them the Holy Communion, and then they would, you know, they were kind of getting up and going and consuming. Mm-hmm. I says, no, you've got to wait. You know, you're receiving Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. You do so not in a hurry. Be conscious of who you're receiving. Receive with reverence. Pause before you leave. And if I don't know if you noticed, but when they receive communion now, I'm so proud of them because they kneel and they don't rush away.
Wow. They
consume the host, mm-hmm. and they remain there for a little while because there's no rush, you know. There's no rush because you've got, it's not that there's somebody standing behind you because I'm going down the aisle, right? Or not down the aisle, but through the line, the altar rail. And it's really beautiful. It's a very beautiful, but I had a number of comments about how silent they were. And you know, it happens that I don't even hear them come into the church. So I'm in the sacristy thinking, well,
when are they coming in?
Yeah. In other words, boy, it's already 8:10. Now, yes, Ash Wednesday we started at 8:30, but they were already there by 8:15, and they were quiet the whole time.
Wow.
But they come in, you can't hear them come in, but the nice thing was the first Mass we had this year, because a lot of times during the summer they tend to forget, you know, and because unfortunately a lot of them, their families don't go to Mass every Sunday, and others do, but so you know you have to kind of reteach a little bit every time we come back to school. But they, the first Mass we had, I was in the sacristy and I thought, I thought we have a Mass today. You know, I had everything set up, but I was in the sacristy and you know, and I looked out the door of the sacristy into the nave at the church to see if they're coming, and they were already there. Everybody was waiting, you know.
Yeah.
It was I didn't hear them come in. You could hear, and then I tell them after they receive the, at the end of the Mass after the blessing, that they continue their prayer, all the way to the classroom. That there's no talking. You know, you're going back to your classroom, mm-hmm. in a spirit of thanksgiving that you've been to Holy Mass. Those who have received, because you've got some who are too young to receive, but that you continue your prayer in thanksgiving, and they do. It's really a beautiful thing. So I was happy that others who came and witnessed that said, mm-hmm. you know, wow, this was really quite amazing. And you know, one of the a former principal, she was more kind of extroverted kind, and you know, the pep rallies and all that kind of stuff, and. Sometimes, you know, at the Mass, you would, you know, rah, rah, rah with the kids, you know, at the whatever. And we've started back, you know, it's always been, you know, I want the kids, the students to be silent. Mm-hmm. I want them to have respect, a sense of reverence. We're not into the applauding and the shout out for this or that or whatever, she would do that sometimes. So that's what I said. I don't remember in what instance, but at the end of the Mass, you know, it was like, you know, you're going into the weekend and, you know, whatever.
Hooray, hip hip hooray.
And the kids love that, you know, I brought her to appreciate as well the necessity for the silence. So she took on another position as a principal in Joliet, and she said that she continued with that in the school. It was a really quite big school. I think it might have been the cathedral school. And she said that people were amazed. They said, they've never seen this before. You know, the kids come with such reverence and leave with such reverence. So, you know, kids aren't, sometimes we think, you know, because they're children, we've got to keep them, engaged, entertained, and all that. No, they need the silence. You don't know, and it's all related to the prayer we were talking about the other day. Right. You don't know what you need until you experience it, right? Mm-hmm. And when you have the experience of silence, in fact, you know, somebody came in the church last week. Somebody came into the church. A young man, I might have mentioned this, but a young man brought his girlfriend, or he was on a date. They had gone out to mm-hmm. dinner, and he is a very religious young man, and in his early 20s. And so he brought, he wanted to bring his date. Mm-hmm. He says, I want to show you my church, you know, where I go to church. And so he came, and of course, as people know, the doors are open 24/7. And so this was already probably later into the evening. And he said, you know, he said, Father, she said, wow, she said, there's a loud silence here. Wow. Never heard it described that way, but it's a beautiful way to describe a loud silence. It's a heavy, not heavy in a sense that, or loud in the sense that it's rude.
The silence, yeah. It hits you.
You can feel the silence.
That's what I think.
Yeah. And it moves the heart. Yeah. It moves one to know that, wow, there's a presence mm-hmm. here, that there's something really, really beautiful, really, really sacred happening here. So anyway, we'll take a break, and we'll talk a little bit about Lent, because we are now in the season of Lent, and we'll just see where we go. Okay, so everybody, don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change in AM 750 WNDZ.
You are invited to a series of Father Anthony's reflections on prayer entitled Lex Orandi, Lex Credendi, Lex Vivendi. As we pray, so we believe. As we believe, so we live. These reflections will be presented each Thursday during Lent on Winds of Change. Join us at noon weekdays on AM 750. You can also download the podcast and listen anytime to Winds of Change.
We are the students of St. Stan Lakoska Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. Visit ststanschicago.org to find out how.
And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Koska is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Koska is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks so much for being with us. And I'd ask, you know, and I know there's so many requests for prayers for the sick and those who are suffering. There's, you know, we get so many petitions that come through in the course of a day through the Facebook, and you know, people call the rectory. There's a lot of suffering out there today. There's just no way around it. A lot of confusion, a lot of suffering now with the COVID. It's still a reality. I mentioned yesterday that my mother is in the hospital, and so I just it was so nice because I mentioned during the prayer at Mass, after I prayed for the, you know, we had a litany of people we prayed for, and I just asked, you know, that if you just remember my mother mm-hmm. in prayer as well. She's got COVID and is in the hospital, and after the Mass, you know, then I do the chaplet, and as I was leaving, I was going to the icon, the iconic monstrance, Our Lady of the Sign, the Ark of Mercy, and as I was leaving, you know, usually we say, let us go in peace, and I just wish him a blessed evening and to sleep with the angels, you know. Mm-hmm. And somebody said, what's your mother's name? And I said, you know, Kathleen. So if just kind of remember her in your prayer, if you would, I'd appreciate that. It's the hard thing, isn't it? And now I get it, you know, as people I've experienced so much of this with people from the parish or family members of our parishioners. You know, we haven't really had a problem in the parish at all, but the hard thing is you can't see you can't go in and see your, like my mother's in Florida, but she's got all her seven children are there. I'm the only one that's away. And you can't go in, you know, that's you just can't go in the COVID unit. And so all they do is they can just get an update twice a day in the morning and in the evening. So, you know, it's hard to know, you know, but I have to say, you know, in my mother's, she's on oxygen. She's not on a ventilator, thank God. So I'm pretty confident that she's 88, but I'm pretty confident that she'll weather this storm in a sense. But she's quite a. Let's see, I'm getting a note from. Thank you, Nick. Thanks very much. As mom and dad are praying for my mom too, and I thank you. Thanks very much. But my mother's one of these. She's a very sweet person. She's a typical grandmother. You know, she's got a big family, lots of grandchildren, great grandchildren, and but she'll have no problem, I think, in the hospital because you get it. In other words, people, and they've already called my sister on the phone because my one sister's got she's a contact person. Uh-huh. They say, oh, she's very, very sweet, and you know, and but she kind of hallucinates a little bit here and there, you know, and. But they said they took her medicine to her in the evening, and she says, no, you know, I really take the medicine a little bit later. And they said, well, you're going to have to take it now. You know, she says, oh, okay, all right. But, you know, the one thing, and I think I told you, Tony, she's got a dog. Yeah. What's a dog's name now? She had like three or four, but they've all died. Precious, I think. Precious is the dog.
Little Chihuahua.
Yeah, Chihuahua. And my sister said the dog has not stopped crying.
Wow.
Since my mother left. And I mean, those dogs, you're a dog person, yeah. You know, and I've learned to appreciate, you know, how special animals are.
Yeah.
And I remember my father's dog, his name was Yo-Yo, and you don't think dogs have memories, but they do. And so I had gone home I used to go home once a year. I haven't been home in over 2 years, believe it or not. But I used to go at least once a year. And I remember going, I was dressed, you know, as a priest. I was all in black and had a black suitcase. And I walked in and my father came to hug me. You know, well, that dog his dog went on the attack. And yeah. And the dog hated me. I mean, literally hated me. I'd come in, I'd sit down, he'd just start growling at me. Even in the middle of the night, I'd be in my room, and all of a sudden I hear this growling outside the door.
He's just making sure you.
It just
you
crazy.
Know he's there.
But when my father was dying, the dog, Yo-Yo, was right there at the foot of the bed, as if he sensed it.
Yeah.
And and then, of course, my father died in September. The following February, on my parents' anniversary, my father's birthday, my sister was going to... Did I tell the story before?
No,
I think my sister thought, you know, for my mother, for her anniversary and my father's birthday, she would take the dog and have him, you know, cleaned and has his fingernails clipped and all that. And he had this little cough, and she said, have it check it out. And so the doctor... gave him a shot, and he died. The dog died. And so my sister came home with the collar and the...
That's so sad.
It was just horrible. Yeah. It was terrible.
But stuff happens.
It happens. And but at the same time, we said, you know, but the day that he died, you know, it was my father's birthday, my parents' anniversary, wedding anniversary.
Your father wanted him back.
Wanted him back, yeah. And but I tell you, you know, I had gone down to Florida one year. It was in January, mm-hmm. and our next door neighbor, their son, was dying in the hospital. I didn't know that until I got down there. Mm-hmm. He was unfortunately he died of AIDS, and I didn't know him well because I was much older when I left mm-hmm. home, and but they lived next door. And so anyway, I got there in the evening, and then all during the night there was this dog just howling, and it kept me up almost all night. And so in the morning I told my parents, I said, did you hear that dog was howling all night? And they said, yeah, that's James' dog. Mm-hmm. And you know, he's in the hospital, of course. I know he was in the hospital. And no sooner had we, you know, we were sitting at the table and we were talking about this, his mother came and said that James had died during the night. And this is a dog, you know, in the hospital he died. But the dog seemed to have a sense,
yeah.
Because they said he's never done that before, you know, but my sister was saying that Precious has not stopped crying. She even took my mother's clothes and and all that and tried to, you know, lay him on her clothes, thinking that would help, but it just hasn't. He just finally, a doctor told her to give him a Benadryl, and so she tried that, and it made him calm down. Yeah, but it's really animals or dogs, most especially dogs.
And people say that too with cats. I mean, it's the same. Animals know. I mean, they know we take care of them, and that's why it's important that it's God's creature. God created us. God created the animals. We take care of the animals. It's the way it is.
You remember the story of it was a movie actually about this, I think, the dog in Japan.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
He would always go to meet his master when his master, his owner would come home from the train, get off the train to go home. The dog was always there waiting for him.
Yep. Now, Nick would know this because I'll tell you a side note. Nick knows because he's a cartoon Futurama fan, and he knows he's going to know exactly what I'm talking about. Futurama did that. They did an episode of that where the dog, it touched me so. I mean, it was one of those nights because it comes on overnight, and I'm up at night, so I was watching this. And the story touched me so.
Yeah.
It just touched me in a way that I don't know, I don't want to say. But I started researching it, and I looked up that story, and yeah, that's exactly the way it is. The dog was faithful. He knew, and he was there. He stayed in that place. He went there every morning.
After his owner died.
The owner died, and they actually made a movie about it, too.
They did, I heard.
So I had to search and get that, and I haven't watched it because
it was in Japan, right?
Yeah.
It's
a certain kind of dog. I forgot what the name is. It's a Kato or some kind of dog. It's a special breed of dog. It's a beautiful breed of dog.
Wow. It's amazing.
But yeah, it's.
And you and your wife are very close to Bebe, who's sick too, so we should ask that people pray for your dog.
And that's the thing. It's weird, and I've got to admit, I mean, I have been a dog person all my life, but I guess now as technology goes on, and it's almost like taking care of a child. I mean, there's certain things that it needs, certain vitamins and things like that. So it becomes, and I think, dare I say this, I don't want to, because I'm not this person. I think sometimes people can go way overboard, but when you realize that, again, animal. And I say it the best way, God's creature, we need to take care of it. You know, there's people I hear that, they're leaving, they don't want to take care of the dog, they throw the dog out, we're moving, leave the dog out in the street. Or I see, you know, dare I say, even people that do have animals, they leave the dog out, they don't see that, you know, a car can come. I hate that. It's like I'm always conscious of other animals, even, you know, when I take my dog out, and you'd see some of the things that people just, they don't think that way.
Yeah, you know? I agree with you now. I never believed this until I think it's in the last several years that I've actually seen this. And I think basically, I think for the most part, it's because when I would go home and I saw, because my father was never attached to animals.
Yeah.
But became for how many years in the last years of his life, more than a few years. Mm-hmm. I don't know how long Yo-Yo was around, but I never saw such an attachment.
Yeah,
you know, and again how he was so protective of my father, and of course my mother had her dogs, and they were. I mean, it was incredible to see because. Even if she were to go to the washroom or to take a shower, they would all go down the corridor and she'd shut the door and they'd they stood in sit in attention until she came back. And when she would leave, this is going back years, when she would leave for somewhere or whatever, and I'm there and the dogs are there and they knew when she was coming home.
Yeah.
They knew, and they would just they were the you never saw such happiness, you know. As it's just amazing.
It's funny. My baby, Angelica, has a tendency of working and not paying attention to her at times. She'll sit and she'll start barking or she'll start crying. Pay attention.
Yeah, pay attention. Yeah.
And so I'm sitting. I'm down in the basement because that's where I do my stuff and. I'm hearing the dog bark, and I know exactly what's going on. Or when we're eating, she wants to eat whatever we have, and it's like,
what a gift! God's great gift to the. I mean, yeah, there's so many ways that God. You know, I think we have to think about this too in life because life is hard, and we are, you're perpetual pessimists over here. You know, I think, but I think a lot of people are looking for hope, and we're people of hope because we have the faith. But we got to remember in the course of a day, in a sense, and this is part of, as we've been talking about prayer, we'll continue to talk about prayers. I think what's lacking in society is a certain asceticism. Asceticism is being detached from certain things in order to. And it's part of the reason for, the fast of Lent or fasting on Fridays or Wednesdays. And I think we need to return to that discipline of fasting because we're just so inundated with so much that we need this asceticism that brings us to detach from even good things in order to maintain a relationship with God, to be conscious of God. I bring this up because if we could create that space, in other words, detach. I forgot where I was going to go with this. Detach from the internet or even television or and again, this is the why of the sanctuary. God and His wisdom, Our Lady, who lives to do the will of God. She's not frozen in the pages of sacred scripture, but to say to open these doors, that the cacophony of the world not shout in the silence the voice of the living God. And so indeed we did that. But we need to create that space within ourselves and in our own environment, whether it be in the home, wherever it is. It could be when you're in the car, but just to have that... to reflect and to be silent, to think about and as we were speaking yesterday, have the to use Saint Teresa's Saint Teresa of Lisieux, her words to have the prayer is the surge of the heart, directed toward heaven, toward God, in the joys and in the sorrows of life. I get the point that I wanted to make is to not lose sight of the little things and that. So I've heard many people say, I just can't take the politics anymore. It's just too overwhelming what's going on. And even my sister was saying yesterday that when she was in the or the day before when she was in the emergency room as my mother was being admitted into the hospital that. She said, you saw just this people with this this gaze, like an empty gaze, like an emptiness, a sadness, a lack of hope. You could just see it. You could feel it. Again, it's something that you can intuitively mm-hmm. sense. But in a time like ours, when there is a lot of confusion, a lot of fear, I think there's a lot of fear on the part of a lot of people. I think the fact that people have been quarantined and because of people respond to the virus in different ways, we have to respect people's own response to the COVID virus. Some people it means nothing; it doesn't bother them one way or the other. Others are very fearful. But just being out of work, the loss of jobs, the worrying about their children. I hear this more and more too, especially for those whose children have to be online. They don't have the opportunity to go to school. What this is doing to them psychologically, spiritually. If you're coming from a family that where God is at the really at the center of the home, and He should be. That mm-hmm. should be the norm.
But it is interesting, I want to go back to something I've seen in the news, and I'm not going to mention names or I'm not going to say anything, but there's something about talking to somebody that is hopeful, is saying, we need to get through this. We'll get through this together. We'll do what we need to do. In opposed to somebody that gets up and says, the worst is ahead of us. Now, I think now more than ever I realize, and I always did because I think I'm somewhat of a person that kind of thinks. I mean, one person might say, oh, well, okay, the first person's lying to you because it's never going to get better. And the second person is trying to be really, realistic. But I think there's something about a positive attitude. And I even think of my faith, and I rely on my faith now. I know where I'm going. So, I know how this ends. But I mean, to go through life bringing people down or putting people against each other, that to me is the person that I don't want to listen to. There's got to be some hope.
So that you challenge me in that regard as well, because I do believe that if we don't, mm-hmm. and in a second here, we'll go to this reading.
Right.
But I do believe that if there, I would say this is a prophetic posture mm-hmm. on my part, that if we do not return to God, it's going to get worse. But now, having said that, and I feel like it's not being pessimistic, even though mm-hmm. I say, we're your perpetual pessimists. I really am not a pessimistic person for the reason you articulated there, is that we mm-hmm. we know how this is going to end.
Right.
But it's being prepared, because I don't want to give people false hope.
Exactly.
Water things down. We've got to be realistic. We got to know mm-hmm. what we're up against and how are we going to respond.
Right.
Before I go into this, and I just wanted to say that one of the things that in the midst of this difficult, it's a very difficult time we're going through for many people. Mm-hmm. Now, you can escape the difficulties or the the responsibilities.
People do.
And they do. There's all kinds of ways to do that, to medicate oneself in some way or another. I'm going to tune it all out mm-hmm. and lose myself in destructive behavior or whatever it may be. But to recognize in the course of a day how God has blessed us. So I'm saying, going back to the animals, the fact that, even when we had the teacher here
right.
With the students, they've got two dogs.
Yeah, Miss Riley.
Miss Riley. because they have a student that, you know, has certain issues, and the dog is has a calming mm-hmm. effect, not only on him, but on the entire class. It's, right. This is really quite beautiful. But, you know, a cup of coffee, a glass of wine,
exactly.
A meal, sharing with, you know, conversation with another person. You know, these we got to look for those blessings. To have faith. Faith is a blessing. Prayer, we were talking about that yesterday. Prayer is a gift
right.
from God. How do we navigate through all this without prayer? Because I think the prayer enables us to approach the present with realism.
Mm-hmm.
And as Jesus said, you know, pick up your cross and follow me. And, you know, I tell you what, let's take a break and we'll come back. And then I want to, we can maybe conclude because we got a quarter of an hour here with just something that's related to Lent. Okay. We'll go back to the first reading we heard the other night and maybe kind of end with that. But because it is about realism, but facing the realism, but with hope and faith. That's really the key that keeps us from going under or becoming overly dark. Okay, so we'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change in AM 750 WNDZ.
You are invited to a series of Father Anthony's reflections on prayer entitled Lex Orandi, Lex Credendi, Lex Vivendi. As we pray, so we believe. As we believe, so we live. These reflections will be presented each Thursday during Lent on Winds of Change. Join us at noon weekdays on AM 750. You can also download the podcast and listen anytime to Winds of Change.
We are the students of St. Stan LaCosta Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. Visit ststanschicago.org to find out how.
And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule, work, or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
Here's good news about a great school with in-person instruction for your child. Father Anthony is asking you to send your children to St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy for in-person instruction. Excellence in educating the mind, heart, soul, and spirit of each student. Cost should not be an obstacle to enrolling your child at St. Stan's Academy. We have scholarships and financial aid available to fit all budgets. Everyone who wants to give their child a Catholic education can do so at St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. Faith, virtue, honor. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is an elementary school offering grades pre-kindergarten to 8th grade and is located minutes from downtown Chicago. Call the school office at 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. Or visit ststanschicago.org for St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
This Lent, may I suggest that you consider the fact that there is a person who is madly in love with you as an individual, so much so that he never stops thinking of you, desiring your good and yearning for you to visit him so that he can be consoled by you and so he can pour out gifts upon you more valuable than any treasure on earth. Yes, he is so deeply in love with you that he literally laid down his life for you in a very costly, bloody painful manner. He is not indifferent as to whether you come to him. Only you can placate the thirst he experiences for you. This Lent, come to Jesus often in Holy Mass and adoration. How blessed you will be. I'm Jim Littleton, FormingFaithfulFamilies.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us as we wrap up. So yeah, we're in the season of Lent. This is, as everybody knows, a 40-day penitential season in preparation for the celebration of the celebration of Holy Week, which culminates in the sacred Triduum, the three high holy days, the sacred Triduum. That's Holy Thursday, Good Friday, mm-hmm. Holy Saturday. The Triduum is a pivotal celebration in the liturgical year because it solidifies really the meaning and the purpose of life. The Church's very identity, her mission, is understood only in relation to the Paschal mystery, that is, the suffering, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Through the wounds of Jesus, we've been healed, we've been saved, we've been redeemed, and we're sent to live in the hope that while evil remains a reality, the victory of the risen Christ will be realized for those who keep faith. And it goes back to what we were talking right before the break. You know, there's a realism about what's going on, but there's cause for hope because we have faith. And Jesus says, even if your faith is the size of a mustard seed, it'll move a mountain. Just a couple of days ago on Ash Wednesday, the first reading from the book of Joel opens with an urgent call to return to God. And in view of the many, many challenges we face today, we would do well to take this reading to heart and reflect on it in its entirety. I just want to read for you that reading because history, if we're not attuned to God, if we allow the cacophony of the world, the rude noise, to get in the way and shout God's voice into silence, we will succumb to our own demise as a civilization, as individuals, as families. And so the reading begins, "Even now, says the Lord, return to me with your whole heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your hearts, not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for gracious and merciful is he, slow to anger, rich in kindness, and relenting in punishment. Perhaps he will again relent and leave behind a blessing. So blow the trumpet, proclaim a fast, call an assembly, gather the people, notify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and the infants at the breast. Let the bridegroom quit his room and the bride her chamber. At the altar, let the priests, ministers of the Lord, weep and say, spare, O Lord, your people, and make not your heritage a reproach with the nations ruling over them. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Then the Lord was stirred to concern for his land and took pity on his people." That's a striking, I mean, that reading is, it comes from the book of Joel. It's as pertinent today as it was when it was written. This is probably around the time of the exile or leading up to. I have an interest, and I think many Catholics have a renewed interest in the messages of the Blessed Virgin Mary to the children in Fatima a little over 100 years ago. As in the case of all her apparitions through history, she repeats the urgent summons of the prophet Joel. It's a repeating of the message. It's a very simple message, very pointed. Return to God. There will be no peace if there's no return to God. That's what Our Lady has said over and over. She says, pray for the conversion of sinners. If her call, she says, is not heeded, the world can expect an increase in evil and chastisement. I mean, this is, you know, at last week or the week before Our Lady of Lourdes, the feast day, you know, but that was her call, you know, repent, pray for sinners, conversion, return to God. In Rwanda, in Africa, in Kigali, Kibeho in Kigali, in Rwanda, same message, return to God. And she warned us that if we didn't return to God, there will be consequences. What's interesting about the apparitions of the Blessed Virgin Mary and Fatima is the manner in which the children were prepared for the visitation of Our Lady. Because a year before the apparitions, an angel appeared to the children, taught them how to properly approach God in worship. They were instructed to prostrate before God and say, "My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love you. And I ask pardon for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love you. Of course, I've added to these petitions, and I thank you, and I ask pardon for those who do not thank you." We need to, it would just be a wise thing to reflect on these supernatural visitations that took place over the course of 6 months in Fatima, in Portugal. The popes of all said that these messages are as pertinent today and maybe even more so than at that time, a little over 100 years ago. So the message is, you know, rend your hearts and return to the Lord your God. It's the very, what is prayer? But a surge of the heart toward heaven, toward God. And it's got to begin with us humbly and prayerfully as we worship God. We place ourselves before the Holy Eucharist. We make reparation for the many offenses and sacrileges committed against all that is sacred. It's not without reason that we're called to return to God with fasting and weeping and mourning. It's not about pessimism. It's about realism. You know, that we have, collectively speaking, gone away from God. We're guilty of all kinds of idolatries. And again, as I said yesterday, and I just will leave you with this again, just what's in your heart? Where is your heart? To whom is your heart directed? You know, it's, again, as I said, you know, we recognize and appreciate the blessings we receive on every day, the little things that keep us going. But what's at the center? What's the foundation? Upon what foundation do we build our lives? Again, where is the heart directed? It's got to be toward God. We come from God. We go to God. We have to choose to live in God. It's a choice. It was the reading that I placed before you, a choice. Choose life or choose death. Choose light or choose darkness. Choose good or choose evil. Declare yourself, you know, who are you? Where are you? Where am I with you? You know, and this is that choice has to be made, and we need to be unapologetic about who we are as emissaries, ambassadors, disciples of Christ Jesus. All right, everybody, thanks for being with us. Have a really wonderful weekend. Almighty God bless you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go in peace. Ciao.
Time to hide.
to say when right from wrong has become so obscure. It does not take that long, can you see?